The stories of healing in the Gospel of Mark, and there are many, give us a sense that somehow Jesus came to us to take away all of our afflictions and all of our sufferings. Consequently, when we pray earnestly for healing and wholeness, or we pray for some sort of affliction to be taken away from us, whether it is an affliction of the body or of the mind or of the soul, and it doesn't happen quite the way we plan, then somehow we think either God does not listen to our prayers, or perhaps we haven't prayed hard enough. And I think we miss the point if that's our attitude, because that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus did come to heal and to make whole again, but we have to see that in the larger picture, the context of his coming to proclaim the kingdom of God in the world. And it is just that reality that we see today in the gospel lesson. Think of it for a moment. There is this man with a withered hand. How did his hand become withered? There'd be lots of reasons for that, perhaps. Perhaps there was some sort of malformation in the womb and he was born with this sort of defect. Or perhaps he had an injury early in life, some sort of trauma that insulted the well-being of his body, and he never quite recovered from all of it. Or there was an infection of some sort which caused him to use the use of his hand. No matter how you look at it, the way the people of his day would look at it was that he was being punished by God. Illness, brokenness, some sort of problem in our lives was seen to be a judgment from God because we were somehow guilty of some sin. We hear that often in the gospel, and we hear Jesus constantly addressing this issue, because I think at the heart of it, it is the core of our understanding of how we relate to God. We still think that way in a lot of times. In fact, I just described a little bit of that. If something assails us, some obstacle comes into our life, some sort of affliction or an illness, and we don't find the healing we seek or the answers we seek, somehow we think something is wrong between us and God. Or we're not praying hard enough, and so we redouble our efforts, and as we pray harder and harder and harder, we begin to become more and more frustrated. The issue here, in some regard, is that the man himself did not seek healing from Jesus. In fact, Jesus calls him forward. And even that is insightful for us, because in the gospel, in this lesson, in the synagogue, this man would not have been at the front of the crowd. In fact, he probably snuck into the synagogue because he had a withered hand. He was seen to be a sinner, and in being judged as a sinner, he would not have been allowed into the assembly. So he probably snuck in the back door, as it were, and he was sitting way, way, way in the back, trying to disappear into the woodwork, as it were. And it was Jesus who saw him. Jesus who called him forward, and Jesus, in one sense, who made an example of him because he healed his affliction. And Jesus uses this to make a point, about the kingdom of God. Because again, if we listen carefully and we see how the culture of his day worked it out, the kingdom of God was only for those who were righteous in God's sight. That was the constant tension between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus and those who thought themselves to be righteous because of their observance of the law, because of the rightness of their lives. And so Jesus uses this healing miracle. Jesus uses this making whole of this man again to say that the purposes of God are not about making sure that you're rewarded for your goodness. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. but rather I come to bring wholeness and healing to a broken world. And it is in that that the power of God is most clearly seen. That calls us up short, because we begin to realize that the kingdom of God is not about weighing how good we were and how bad we were. It calls us to account for ourselves, our image of God as being a grand accountant in the sky, all due reverence to the accountants among us. It is not about keeping beans and storing them up, our good works, to see that they outweigh our sin. That is not what the kingdom of God and the life of God is about. But rather, the kingdom of God is about moving into the world and seeing where there are obstacles, seeing where there are problems, seeing where there is affliction, seeing where there is suffering. And that the very power and grace and mercy of God moves into that situation to make it whole again. That is the very purpose of Jesus going to the cross. It is not to pay a debt for our sins in the way that we classically think of it, although there is an element of it there, but rather it is to show us the immense love that God has for the world, a love so deep and so profound that God would hold nothing back. So why would he hold back healing and wholeness from us? Perhaps it is because we, like those Pharisees, and those early people who thought themselves to be righteous, are too hung up on being good, too hung up on keeping the rules, too hung up on making sure that we are right before God by our own standards, and not about the standards of the kingdom of God. No, the thing that God is looking for in our hearts is not how many good things we do in order, or how many times we keep from sinning, but rather that in the midst of our own brokenness and our own affliction, we are constantly moving out of ourselves, constantly bringing the love of God to others, constantly using even our own affliction to give witness to the kingdom of God, using our own brokenness to demonstrate the immense love that God has for us and for the world around us. That is a very different perspective, because then that allows us to be a church of sinners. Oh, not that we should go out and sin. That's not what I'm saying at all. But rather, in our own brokenness and in our own weakness, our own afflictions, we begin to see that that is where the power of God is most clearly seen. For when we are strong and smart and we have all the things together, we can so often say it's us who's in charge. But when we are broken down and afflicted and we are ill and we are weak, it is there that the power of God is most clearly seen. Now, Jesus calls this man, who would not be accepted by any of the righteous ones in the front seats of the synagogue, he calls this man forward and he heals him. The man didn't even ask for it. And my friends, that's the way God works in our lives. Even though we may not ask for God's healing and wholeness, God moves into us, into our lives, and in the power of the Spirit begins to make us whole again. You see, the difference is if we are asking for something in particular and we get that thing, we may think it's because of our own righteousness. But you see, when God works in our lives in ways in which we cannot account for in our own way of looking at things, then we begin to see the awesome power of God in the way that he makes the whole world whole again. Brothers and sisters, that is a marvelous reality. And that's what Jesus came to do. And Mark's gospel is full of these stories, full of stories that say that what Christ came to do was turn the world on its head and to show us the immense power of the kingdom of God to change not only our individual lives and hearts, but to change the very structures of the world. And to show us that it is when we are weak that we are strong. When we are in the depth of our deepest sin, that it is there that the power and the love of God is most clearly seen, because God is loving us all the more. It's for that reason that Martin Luther, in one of his sermons, said to the assembled people, "If you must sin, sin boldly." I didn't mean it that we're supposed to go out and be as sinful as we possibly can. No, that's a different attitude. But what he's saying is that if you really, really find brokenness in your life, live into that brokenness and turn to God and cast yourself on God's mercy. For it is there that the loving kindness of our God, the compassion of our God, the healing power of our God can be most clearly seen, is most evident to us, is most clear to the world. And it makes the point to our world that there is nothing, nothing beyond God's power, and that we do absolutely nothing to merit God's love. God's love is given to us as a grace. God's love is given to us free and unasked. God's love is given to us because God first loved us. And our love for God needs only to be a response to the love that we have been shown. It is in that love that our hearts are made whole. Perhaps the afflictions which we pray to be removed will remain in our lives, no matter how deep and profound, whether they are illness even unto death, or obstacles for us to see a way clear to make our lives whole again. But, often God will answer our prayers in ways we do not understand. And that the changes that come in our lives are not to remove the obstacles, but to use them to teach us profound lessons upon who God is and how God works. May it be so with us. May we who suffer from any illness or any shortcoming or any disability, whether it is of the body, the mind, or the heart, begin to see that Jesus calls us out. If we are but humble enough to realize that we are really backbenchers in this great enterprise, and that it is God who calls us forward, God, Christ himself, who calls us to the center, and there lays his hands upon us and says, with power, be healed.